name's Dan. I'm excited to be here. And I want you to turn back to your neighbour and I want you to ask them to tell you a time when they were amazed. So I'll give you 30 seconds, turn to someone close to you and get and ask, when was a time that you were amazed? So I'll give you 30 seconds, go for it.
These are two people.
and ice cream together. Does anyone do this in McDonald's? Dip your chips in your ice cream? No? Who thinks it's weird? Okay, so this works, I'm wrong with them. So just like our chips and ice cream, Jesus and this centurion were not meant to go together. You see, Jesus was a Jew, and this Roman centurion was a Gentile. And they weren't meant to have respect for each other, speak to each other, get along, or ever help each other. But what we see here is that Jesus helps the centurion because his servant is sick. So they weren't meant to get along. And secondly, what this shows us about Jesus is that he's continually meeting people that others would never expect him to meet. He always goes across those boundaries that we would think, oh, Jesus, surely you wouldn't associate yourself with the tax collector, that person that causes and takes money away from people. Surely you wouldn't sit down with them. Surely you wouldn't sit and chat with someone and invest into someone like Judas, who would have ended up betraying you. And then surely you wouldn't spend time with the group that would ultimately crucify you. Jesus continually meets with people that no one expects him to. And that's key for this story. But I want to read verse 9 again. It says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And turning to the crowd following him, he says, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. So was Jesus amazed? The question we're asking. Well, yes, Jesus was amazed. And to take it one step further, we're asked, well, what amazed him? And that key thing that caused Jesus to be amazed was faith. Faith. And in Hebrews 11, which is our book of the Bible, it says, describes faith as the confidence in the hope we have and the assurance about what we do not see. As people fall in Jesus today, he is what we put our hope in. He is the assurance, even if we don't see him physically. And in this centurion's response, when his servant's sick, we see that he has faith in Jesus even before he's met him. See, this man had a clear belief and a clear confidence, just like what we've read, an assurance in Jesus before he had met him. It says when he had just heard Jesus, he believed that he could heal him. And isn't that challenging for us today? I find this challenging for me as I read it. Like, he didn't ask for a moment of confirmation. So like, Jesus, if you show me something and prove to me that I can trust you, then I'll trust you. He didn't do that. He said, when he heard that Jesus was near, he sent the elders out to go and find him. And in John 20:29, it describes Thomas's reaction when Jesus had been resurrected. And he says, Jesus, I'll not believe you unless I can put my hands and my fingers in the wounds of you. And Jesus says, because you have seen me, you have believed. But this is the part we're interested in. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet believed. It's clear that the Bible is used to a posture of faith that has belief before seeing. He fixed his eyes on the Eternal One, and that was Jesus. Second thing we see is that he put his faith into action. He didn't just remain in a place where he knew who Jesus was. He actually went to a place where he went to take action. He began to make moves. Because he sent the Jewish elders. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder, what happens if he had stayed in that place of just knowing who Jesus was, but never actually took any action? Like, he could have said, oh, I'm a man of faith, I trust Jesus, I have that belief, and just sat with his servant in sickness. He could have done that. But instead what he does is, he chooses to start to take action upon the faith that he had. And that's the challenge for us. See, real faith sparks action. He wasn't static, but he was rather proactive. He was moving on the faith that he had for the miracle. And I wonder tonight, is there some places in our lives where maybe we're just sitting static? We're maybe just sitting, maybe claiming, oh look, I come to these gatherings, I'd say I have faith in Jesus. But are we willing to move? Are we willing to put that James 2:17, which in our book in the Bible describes that faith without action is dead. It's dead. It says in verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But the centurion got this. See, he got that faith without action would have probably not just led to only his faith beginning to die, but also a literal physical death of his servant. He began to act on the faith he had. But as we know that that he does act, and we see that the servant does get healed, that Jesus responds to his step that he takes and becomes well. And we can just imagine the growth in faith for that centurion. In verse 10, it says, the people who went to beg Jesus to heal the servant returned to find that Jesus' words had achieved what they had been sent out to, and that was to heal. And can you imagine the excitement in that room when they returned after the centurion had sent them out? Can you imagine the excitement in that room when they returned to find the servant sitting up well, alive? That Jesus had healed him. Like, what would that do to your faith? I wonder if there's a situation in your life today where you need faith. And imagine if Jesus came in and met you in that moment. What would the growth be like? What would you be like after? And we imagine that there would be a growth in faith. See, in Matthew, Jesus says that faith, even as small as a mustard seed, can tell a mountain to move, and it be moved. And I don't know about you, but mustard seeds probably as small. But just as small as that, that's the sort of faith that could tell a mountain to be moved, and it could move. And that should excite us today, because no matter whether you're, and we're going to do this in a question, whether you're a 10 out of 10 in your faith and you feel like, I'm just buzzing on fire for the Lord, absolutely got this down, nail this, or whether you're actually at a point where, I don't even know, it's a struggle every day. My faith in Jesus, this should excite you, because it's clear that Jesus longs to reward the small steps of faith that we take. The small faith, like he rewarded the centurion's faith. And a helpful thing that I do when I'm coming to read passages like this is sometimes just ask the question, well, what is and what isn't there? What do I see in this story? What do I not see in this story? And it's going to pop up on the screen too. But what it's clear to see that wasn't there is that there wasn't any doubt. Like, this centurion didn't doubt who Jesus was. He didn't doubt what Jesus could do. Like, he didn't ask for that sign of confirmation to have him put his trust in Jesus. He just didn't doubt. He didn't doubt. There also wasn't any pride. We read that this man was a centurion, and that would have made him quite a high-ranking person. He would have probably had a bit of a reputation. But he laid that all down. He didn't come to Jesus demanding. He came and actually said, Jesus, you don't have to enter my house. You don't have to enter my house. Just your word can do it. And there also wasn't any pride. There also wasn't any delay. And we've talked about it, that when Jesus was in the area, he didn't just sit in the sickness with his servant. He didn't just stay there and say, oh, I still have faith, but you know what, I'm just going to stay there. He didn't do that. See, what we do see is that there was a clear understanding. He understood who Jesus was. And for us today, how we understand who Jesus is through encountering him, of course, but also this book. This book tells all the stories of Jesus, brings him alive to be encountered. There was a humility of heart. He said, Jesus, you just say the word. And that amazed Jesus, his posture coming to him. And finally, there was decisive action taken. He sent people out to go after Jesus. And as we come into the end, there's just two memorable ways where we can try and respond the way the centurion responded. It's going to come up. If you're a new taker, you might want to take this down. Point number one, recognize from him today, we know that he has all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. That basically means there's no situation that you're facing today that scares Jesus, that makes Jesus feel